All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up? Getting into it this week.
Oh, my gosh.
This
so
week,
much to talk about.
OPH or Wheaties. We got a big, big show tonight.
And, you know, last time we were like, hey, it's not a holiday.
Right.
But this time, it's not only is it Prime Day, it's also your mom's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah.
Robin Ketchum, don't ask me how old she's turning. I think it's like 50-something,
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, she rocks like a teenager. I mean, this kid,
sure.
She's all over the place. She just got back from hiking in Italy.
What?
She's heading off to the Great North. She's been recently to the Great Northwest to visit my brother out west. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
We have no evidence that my brother's listening.
Yeah, that's
so nobody
true.
Tell him that we just gave him a shout out.
Okay.
And if he hears this, then he can text me and prove that he's listening to the podcast.
Well, he lives in Washington, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can check. We can see if anyone downloads in Washington.
Oh,
we're gonna have to
dope.
Check.
Busted. Yeah. What's up?
Unless he drives. We know people download in California, so maybe if he drives it down.
You know, I was just talking about my brother yesterday because I made up a joke.
Oh.
You know how sometimes when you make up jokes, they're not they're not what you would call funny?
What? Look, I've never told a joke that no one's laughed at.
Okay, so here's the thing. My brother's the only person who has ever genuinely laughed at this joke.
Okay.
All right, here's the joke. What if being tired was a reason to call a doctor? So, for example, the doctor comes to the house, comes and checks on you, and turns around to your wife and says, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Ketchum. It's too late. He's asleep." More fun than a frog in a glass of milk.
What? And you made that joke.
I made that joke. That's a Penn Ketchum original.
Okay.
No extra charge.
When did this joke manifest? Tuesday.
No, years ago.
Okay.
Not that many years ago, though. I mean, I had kids. I think it was a delirium type of a thing.
Has anyone called you out for making fun of people with mono and chronic fatigue yet?
Not yet.
Soon.
Right.
Now the Penn Cinema, podcast at PennCinema.com.
Right, podcast at PennCinema.com. We're so insensitive.
All right, hit me with some of the big news this week.
All right, well, here's a random piece of news, which may or may not have anything to do with the movie business.
Okay.
The chairwoman of Cam Sing, which is the Hong Kong group that owns Stan Lee's POW.
Whoa.
It's called the POW Entertainment Group.
Yeah.
But POW is spelled with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
So you got to pronounce it POW Entertainment Group. Anyway, this poor lady was arrested.
What?
Go ahead. Ask me why she was arrested.
Why was this lady arrested?
See, in China, you don't need a reason. You just lock them up.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was locked up, and her official company, she's the chairwoman of a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Now, in fairness, the reason why I say this may or may not have anything to do with the movie business is because this group that she owns, or that she's the chairwoman of, has billions of, you know, Stan Lee's little group is a tiny little fleck, you know, in the list. It's a line item, you know, in her list of things that she owns and that she deals with. So it probably doesn't have anything to do with Stan Lee, but I just thought it was kind of fun to see Stan Lee mixed up with someone who's now locked up. Although maybe I shouldn't make fun, because the other night I had a dream that I was in prison. So what's up?
I mean, talk about prophetic.
Luckily, I broke out of the prison using my truck.
To go podcast.
Right.
I got a podcast.
Right. All right, I got more news.
Okay.
You think that's enough, but I got more.
No.
I think we were pretty excited at least I remember, I think that I was in favor of Chris Rock's reboot of Saw.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right? I think mm-hmm. we both were pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's interesting news.
Well, now we come to find out it, at this point, appears to be starring none other than Sammy Jack Jackson. Nick Jack Fury Jack? Himself.
Sammy Jack Jack?
Yes, the very one.
Whoa.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that'd be pretty cool. He's talented.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I wonder how many patented F-bombs he'll drop. Like, I feel like this is just your, like, a gold mine for him.
Right.
You know?
Can I confess something to you?
What's that?
I never saw Snakes on a Plane.
What?
I know.
You never saw.
Yeah, it came out when I had little kids and I was working on building this movie theater.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't even have a movie theater to build yet. I just had this idea and I was hustling so many, you know, this one big job plus pursuing my dream plus little kids. I didn't get out to see it and I've never seen it since.
Wow. It is not a good movie. But you kind of need to see it.
You kind of have to see it.
Because it's so, I mean, it's one of those movies that's like almost. It really borders the, like, so bad it's good.
Mm.
Like, it's not so bad it's good, but so many people saw it, therefore, it's so bad it's good.
Because
you can quote it with almost anyone.
Right.
Almost.
Almost.
Not Penn Ketchum.
Not Penn Ketchum.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen. Remember this little movie that dropped a big puddle in our world? And by big puddle, I mean I never saw it. But you did.
I did.
Brightburn.
Yes.
James Gunn says Brightburn 2 trailer might be in the works.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a smartass, but why would you announce a trailer is in the works?
Because that means that there's potentially a movie in the works.
Okay. So why don't you just say a movie?
Look, I'm not James Gunn. I don't know. I just know what I know. What I know is he said there might be a trailer. Did the movie end appropriate for sequel?
Big time.
Time?
Big time.
It did.
Yeah. The dude's floating over the earth. He kills his mom. He kills his dad. And he's floating over the earth getting ready to torch the place. Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, I'd go see it. It might be. It has the potential that a sequel to Brightburn could end up being better than Brightburn itself.
Okay. All right.
It has that possibility.
Because it surpasses the origin that you're kind of, that it's kind of, not parodying, but like, it's kind of going off of, right? Is what you're saying. So like, it's like, once you pass the Superman story, now you're like, okay.
Let's see what this guy does.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so if we can dig in and see what this guy does.
Right.
Then, I can already tell you, I'll go see it.
Okay.
You know, but I also am saying, taking it a step further and saying, I could understand how this could be really good.
Mm-hmm. I could also understand how nobody sees it, because nobody saw Brightburn.
Yeah, but maybe now.
Here's the thing: it's too early for this. They need to, like, push the home video hard and get it in front of people.
Yeah, that's true.
And then be like, "Hey, there's a trailer."
Turn it into like a cult classic.
Yeah, because then it's all of a sudden it's that movie that no one saw in theaters but everyone's seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they go see the same. Anyway. All right.
Isn't James Gunn busy?
I mean, he's got Suicide Squad. He's got Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
So if you're an investor or a producer with Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy, and you see this headline about Brightburn 2,
yeah.
Aren't you like, what the hell, dude?
Did he direct it? No. Did he?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I think he must just be a producer or something. A Bad Robot. Doesn't he own Bad Robot?
I thought that was Tom Cruise.
No. Get out of town. No, it's James Gunn.
Okay.
No. It's somebody, but it's not Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. Correct us. We may have actually gotten something wrong.
I guarantee.
First time.
It's been minutes since we said something wrong. I guarantee you Pirate Dave knows.
Yeah.
And I'm betting it's Tom Cruise.
Okay. All right. If it's Tom Cruise... Next podcast, you got to drink the whole water right away.
Okay. Brutal.
Yeah. And I'll do it if it's the other way around. This is horrible. We're so hard on each other. Okay. Star Wars news. That's why that's here, right?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Stormtrooper news.
Stormtrooper news.
We got the Stormtrooper helmet.
I should have brought mine.
In the booth.
I got a white one.
You got a white one?
You got the black one?
Which is short one, red one.
I know. That's it. Red Stormtrooper.
Red? What?
They're calling it a Sith Trooper. What do you think of that?
I was hoping you were going to spell it out for me. To be honest, like, I don't know. Like, I saw the graphic that was going around Facebook or internet or whatever, and I was like, oh, that's cool looking.
It is cool looking, but we had the Praetorian guards last time, and they were kind of, well, I mean, they did have that fight scene. So
I definitely felt like
they were kind of cool for that fight.
I definitely felt like this is not the first time we've seen a red uniform, right?
No. Right. Yeah. Usually it's the guards of the big bad wear the red.
Yeah.
But they're specifically calling it a Sith Trooper, which I find interesting.
What do you make of that?
Well, because, in this new trilogy, we haven't really heard much of the Sith. Like, the bad guys have been around, but they haven't been calling themselves the Sith.
Gotcha.
So I think it would be interesting to see if Kylo is, like, fully embracing the Sith.
Oh, yeah. So when Kylo comes out wherever, he's going to have a bunch of red stormtroopers behind him?
I'm thinking maybe.
Well, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Or I forgot we hear the Emperor cackling.
Mm.
So maybe there's some sort of shenanigans there. Emperor hideout or something.
Sometimes I just amuse myself thinking about how fun it's going to be in November to do the podcast when Star Wars is like right around the corner.
And theories are everywhere.
And theories are going crazy. And David's going to have to act all cool and nonchalant. Like, it ain't no big thing.
What are you talking about? Yeah. No, I think it looks cool, but I don't know if it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal, but it's kind of cool.
Okay. What do you got for me?
What do I got for you? So, have you heard of this movie, The Farewell?
I have. I mean, we have the trailer on our...
Yeah, so we'll talk about the movie a little more in depth during the trailer review, but
there's
this movie, The Farewell, and it opened up in theaters this weekend, just the other day. It's open.
Okay.
But it only played in 4 theaters.
Nationwide.
So, here's the headline.
Uh-huh.
The Farewell topped Avengers for the highest per-screen average of the year. Which is, on the one hand, a little bit of nonsense because when you only open 4 theaters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whatever. But on the other hand, you know the star Awkwafina?
Yeah.
And she was in Crazy Rich Asians.
And Ocean's 9
and Ocean's
or
8.
11 or what?
Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
The female Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
And she was great in both. But I have to admit something here, which is that I never really took her seriously. I thought she was like a little comedian who had like a dry sense of humor and like kind of a funny voice and like, you know, and some sass.
Yeah.
And of course, all that is true. But in this trailer, for the movie is called The Farewell. Mm-hmm. And it's about a Chinese family whose grandmother only has a certain amount of time to live, but they don't tell her.
Yeah.
And so it's called The Lie. It says based on a true lie.
Yeah.
Which makes me think it's based on a true story about a family who lied to their grandma.
Right.
Something along those lines.
Or that this happens. I think they paint the impression that this happens all the time.
Right. It's like normal in Chinese culture, which I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason why I mention it is because on the one hand, I throw a red flag because I'm like, nah, you can't claim that it beat Avengers when you only open 4 screens. But on the other hand, first of all, that is true. It did. But on the other hand, that is a lot of money for a small little, I don't want to call it an artsy movie, but it's a touchy-feely drama family type of movie. So if this movie is cranking out that kind of audience, I think it says something really interesting, perhaps about the influx of Asian families and audiences and the future. And I think it says something about people desperate to hear stories about humanity you look at a movie like Yesterday, which, you know, was a lot of fun and in many ways a comedy, but also a very touching movie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it says a lot that this movie, which on its face is a pretty simple, you know, PG-13 family movie, you know, but it just looks amazing and it has some kind of special, I don't know what, secret sauce to it, you know, that is checking some boxes and people are coming out for it. And I contacted this, it's an A24 movie. Mm-hmm. I contacted Sean and I was like, hey, let's get this movie cranking and lit it. And I have yet to hear back from him. But yeah, I think this movie called The Farewell, I give him a little bit of, I you know, it's kind of a dumb headline because why are you going to try to compare yourself to the Avengers? But on the other hand, it is legit. And I think that this movie is going to end up being perhaps a late summer sleeper type of thing.
Award, maybe?
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely going to be on Oscar lists.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Well, along those lines, we're going to talk more about The Farewell here in a couple minutes. So I don't want to go on too long about it. But along the lines of like Oscar contending performances and such, Sam Raimi. Familiar with him, Spider-Man First Trilogy.
I believe I've heard the name.
Yeah. Evil Dead.
Right.
Well, there might be a new Evil Dead movie on the horizon.
Stop it.
That's what they're saying. Bruce Campbell's like 70-something, right?
Yeah.
He's up there. I guess he'd be back because he was, with the article I read, he was part of it. What do you think about, Evil Dead show apparently is really good.
David, wake me up when we're done talking about this.
All right. Siri, set a timer for 10 minutes.
What, are you excited? Should I be taking this more seriously?
No.
No, okay.
It's just curious because they did a TV show.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if they made a movie, how much of it would tie into the TV show? Would you have to watch the TV show? Because the TV show is definitely based off the movies, continuation of the movies. And then subsequently, how wacky, I mean, I haven't watched the show, so how wacky would it be? I mean, I love Army of Darkness.
Okay.
It's one of those, like, crazy, hilarious movies. Now, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 are more, like, horror, but with a little bit of funny. But, like, Army of Darkness, my word, is hilarious. If you like an 80s comedy,
okay,
like, that's the place to go. But, so I'm just curious as to like what route it would go. Also, when was the last time Sam Raimi did something that like you were aware of? Right?
Who?
Exactly. Like as in Spider-Man, I can't think of a single Sam Raimi movie since Spider-Man. And I'm sure someone's like, oh, you're just not remembering this, this, and that. And you're right. I probably am just not remembering it, but that's the fact.
In and of itself says something.
Yeah. I just can't remember that he did something.
Right.
I may have even liked it, but I just don't remember. So anyway, that I just thought that was kind of an interesting tick of information.
That's pretty hard-hitting news, but it's not anything compared to the news about Don Cheadle.
Oh, Don Cheadle?
Which I'm going to steal right out from under you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Don Cheadle set to star in Space Jam 2. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. That's cool news, right?
I think so. It's, like, fun, and to me, it's, like, cool, yeah.
Here's the thing about Don Cheadle. He has proven that he can be serious.
Oh, I love this guy.
Right? He can also play a really good straight man.
Mm-hmm.
He can play a really good comedic role. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with this. If it's really him, if it's him as a voice, whatever. Like,
right.
Throw him in.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't want to take this movie too seriously because it's Space Jam, but it looks like fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
And Don Cheadle, I love him. Yeah. I'll watch it.
Cool. Marvel news.
Okay.
Right? The Eternals. We've been talking about the Eternals.
Yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown rumored to have joined the cast of the Eternals. Now, this has been debunked.
Ooh.
As of today.
Really?
I read. She made an announcement that neither she nor her family are aware of her being in any Marvel associated production. But that could change in the future. Unlike some actors who are just saying, the guy from Stuber, the Indian guy, who were just kind of not responding to the question.
Right.
So that makes me think that she's not currently, actually, but maybe this hype will bring it in. No?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? With Stranger Things season 3, ooh, people are talking about how good she is in that.
They're going crazy for her, and I think it would be a smart move for her to do the movie, to do Eternals.
Yeah.
But I think that based solely on what you just said,
yeah,
when you come out as clear as neither me nor my family.
Well, she's underage, so you got to think that, that her family still manages her career.
I guess. I guess I don't know. Yeah.
Well, neither me nor my family are sure how we feel about this.
Let's get Mom on the phone.
Let me tell you about who? The girl from Strangers and Stranger What?
The what? All right, I got some news for you about our boy Kevin Smith.
Oh my gosh.
It's not really news, but it's interesting. He's an interesting dude, and I find myself not liking him.
As soon as you said he's an interesting dude, I looked down at the notes and said, God, I hate this guy, written by Ben. Is he interesting?
Is he, though?
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, so I love to contradict myself, so I'm just going to say, like, the dude makes funny movies. He seems to be making good, balanced, healthy choices for himself. I think that's been a little bit public knowledge that he has gone through some personal journey in terms of taking care of himself and trying to be a better person. And he's done nothing but good stuff. And every time I see him, I'm like, oh, God, I hate that
guy. Again.
But I love Clerks, you know, and I never saw Clerks when it came out.
Okay.
And again, I forget what year came out, but I think I was like, I think we're back talking about like when Marley was a baby and Kayla was not even yet born. And, but I was working at Penn Cinema and I was downstairs and I don't want to say the kid's name because he's still around. I don't want to embarrass him, but.
Drew.
It wasn't Drew, but it was another guy and he was like, you never heard of Clerks 2? And I was like, well, I heard of it. I never saw it. And he was like, oh, my God. So on his recommendation, I watched that movie, and we quoted it all summer long. This was like 08, 09, something like that. And so I am definitely a fan of Kevin Smith, and I have nothing but nice things to say about him. But for some reason, when I say there's something about him that, like, bugs me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
No, he rubs me the wrong way, too. For no particular reason other than just – he's too sure of himself.
Yes.
I don't want to say cocky as much as he just is. It's not like he acts like he can't fail because he admits failure pretty often. But at the same time, when he says yes about something, you can see that he doesn't think that he could fail.
Right.
Type of thing.
He's pretty pleased with himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably something I see in him about myself. So, which would explain why I can't stand the guy.
But confession time.
Yeah.
I have only seen Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever seen any of his pre-Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back movies.
Okay.
I think I've seen stuff since because he did non, like, those movies.
Well, in my opinion, Clerks is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Clerks 2 is even better.
They say Chasing Amy's good, right?
Yeah.
And Dogma?
Yep. Dogma's great.
Yeah. I've seen bits of them.
Okay, but. So... Clerks 1, Clerks 2, and then there was a script written but never made for Clerks 3.
Okay.
And he is hosting an event in August, I think August 3rd, to raise money for his hometown playhouse. And it's him and presumably the cast of Clerks 2 are going to read the script. They're going to have like a live reading of the script for Clerks 3.
Really?
$100 a head. To get in there and watch him read a script.
Out. I guarantee you sold out.
I guarantee it's sold out. Yeah. I think they could have done $200 a head and it was sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. People love those movies an insane amount.
Yeah.
And good for them. You know? I mean, you don't have to love it the same, but people love it.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. So good for Kevin Smith giving back to his community.
Yeah. Okay. Rocketman director Dexter Fletcher, who I think, did he not also direct Bohemian Rhapsody or something? Or some sort of documentary on the guy from Queen. Anyway, he's now attached to direct a third Sherlock Holmes film starring Robert Downey Jr., rumored to be set in the American West.
I think that's great.
I'm on board with everything till the American West point.
Why?
I feel like that's like the British stuff when they're like, when they run out of ideas, they throw them in America. And that's where it just always goes. It loses its charm because
like
I'm watching.
Kingsman?
Yeah, like Kingsman. Like Doctor Who had a whole season in America that just kind of like floundered. and I love me some Doctor Who. So...
Did you read what Robert Downey Jr. said about Tony Stark and Iron Man?
I saw it, but I didn't read it. What did he say?
He made a big to-do about how this role, meaning Iron Man, this role will not define me.
Really? That's interesting. Well, I know that when he first took it, the first Iron Man came out, and I remember he did a ton of stuff after that to, like, diversify.
Right.
And then slowly that fell to the wayside, but still... I don't know. What do you think?
Good for him. Like, that's a good, healthy attitude, and I applaud him for wanting to be more than, you know, more than Iron Man. But, of course, I have zero sympathy because the guy made $75 million just off the end game.
Yeah.
And then also, it's kind of funny, like, somebody should pull him aside and be like, dude, it's good for you to diversify. It's good for you to do other movies. Congratulations. Everybody agrees you're an incredibly talented actor. But when you die, the following February, they're going to have the Oscars and they're going to run a little memoriam. And the last picture they have when they put your name up there is going to be of Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no two ways about it.
Right. Right. I mean, he did turn his life around pretty hard.
Oh, absolutely.
With Iron Man.
With everything.
With everything.
Yeah.
But... I don't know.
I applaud the guy. I'm a fan of his. I'm excited that he's making more Sherlocks.
He's got a lot of life left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So we might, you know, eat our own words.
I hope so.
On this one.
Because that would mean that he puts out something. But, what if he did a movie like Marlon Brando in Godfather?
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Brando was in Streetcar Named Desire. He was in On the Waterfront. You know, these classic movies. And probably if they had podcasts back then, some idiot like me would be sitting there going, oh, somebody's got to tell Marlon, you're not going to get past On the Waterfront. That's your movie, you know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Godfather comes along. So, yeah, it's exciting to think about what the future could hold for Robert Downey Jr.
Well, along these lines, I just want to come out and say that this podcast will not define me. So stop putting me in the corner. It's not all Penn Cinema podcast for David forever. Someday I'll be known for something else.
There's more to me than a pretty voice.
There's more to me than a pretty voice. Have you seen this beard?
Hey, girl. I hope to God that the podcast does define me. Because in that case, all my other sins will have been overlooked. Everything else will have been forgotten. That would be great. If you guys want to just focus on the podcast, be like, oh, he was a devoted father, a loving husband, and he did the podcast. Like,
and now, here's 3 hours of the best moments of.
3 hours of Penn and David laughing.
And I'm in the back, I won't be defined by this.
That's awesome. Oh my God.
I broke Penn. I broke him.
I can't go on.
I was talking to someone this week and they were like, yeah, your show's basically just you guys laughing the whole time. I said, what do you want? I don't know where to go from here because Penn has more news to talk about. I have one big one.
I'm back. I'm good. All right, we're saving the big one for last.
Yeah, we got to.
I mean, that's real. That's actual. There's a lot to cover there.
Right.
So I'll go to my remaining news. All right, Black Adam.
Yeah. You can just Penn points at me with a title and I can see he's quivering, holding back the smile.
I'm sweating. I'm literally sweating from laughing too hard. All right. There's a character in the Marvel universe, I believe. Or is it DC? I'm sorry, in the DC universe.
Yeah.
named Black Adam.
Okay.
And the first time I saw this character, I thought of the Hangover scene where they're driving back to the hotel with Black Doug in the back seat. And Zach Galifianakis' character, Alan goes, no, not our Doug, Black Doug. And Doug's in the back seat going, hey, cool it with that. Cool it with the Black Doug stuff. So anyway, Black Adam is a bad guy, right?
Normally, yeah.
Yeah, so he, there's a movie. They're making a movie about him.
Yeah. Do you know who Black Adam is?
No.
Okay. Black Adam is the penultimate villain of Shazam.
Oh. And didn't we get a glimpse of him in Shazam?
I don't think so. But, so basically, the story of Black Adam, just real quick, is at one point in time, the wizard, Shazam, was looking at, I'm getting into it.
Okay, can't even, do it.
Okay,
do it.
The wizard Shazam did exactly like he did in the movie Shazam, but right. This is during Egyptian times. Why can't you, right?
Okay.
And he chose a guy, and he was like, here's my powers.
Right.
And the guy took him, and thus power corrupts and became bad.
Absolute power.
Yeah. Right. So that guy, so, you know, then eventually Shazam gave his powers to someone else.
Okay.
Well, now there's two people with the same power set. But Black Adam is really old, but he maintains he just stays in the Shazam all the time.
So Black Adam stars Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Are we saying Dwayne Johnson is Black Adam?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know if he will play, if we'll ever even see the non-Shazammed version of Black Adam.
Right. Well, the news that we took 20 minutes to get to is that Black Adam got a director in Kwame Collet Sara. Do you want to take a stab at that name? Jawume. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Kwame Collet Sara.
I pretty much only put this news in the story because I wanted to see you try to pronounce that.
So you don't care about Black Adam, huh? I poured my Black Adam heart out.
Not at all. Couldn't care less. Kwame Collet Sara. Anyway, the movie is still a long ways off, so I'm sure that it's set for an early 2020 release.
Oh my god.
I knew that would get you. I knew that would get you.
I didn't read the whole note, so I totally missed that.
David, you know what my problem is?
What's your problem?
I got a problem. I'm going to tell you about my problem.
Hit me.
All right. You know what my problem is? My problem is when the studios put a title on the schedule.
Yeah.
And they can't pick a name for it.
Mm.
We talked about this last week with the unknown Marvel movie number 5.
Yeah.
Untitled Marvel movie number 8.
Right.
Well, now we got another one.
Oh, boy.
And it's irritating the hell out of me because it's been on the calendar for a long time. It's called the Untitled Ben Affleck Movie.
Oh, man.
So that's my first part of the problem.
That's the one I want to see.
The first part of my problem is, are we really saying Ben Affleck by himself is enough of a tentpole that we can put a stake in the ground and say we're releasing an untitled Ben Affleck movie?
Brotato chip, come on.
Brotato chip. Second problem, the untitled Ben Affleck is scheduled to open on October 20th of 2019. I have two problems with this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, are we really saying that October 20th is such a competitive time of year that we need to put a stake in the ground for it? Usually when you put stakes in the ground, it's like, I'm releasing an untitled Marvel movie on Thanksgiving of 2022,
yeah.
You know, or a comic book movie on Christmas Day, or a family movie on the 4th of July, or a Pixar, untitled Pixar on, you know, June 16th or whatever. But first of all, it's October 20th. First of all, it's Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's October 20th.
Are you telling me that this isn't a Ben Affleck one-man show?
My third problem is that October 20th, David...
Yeah.
October 20th is not that far away.
No.
So it's, what are we, 3 months? Is it 3 months away? We're in the, let's call ourselves, let's say it's pretty much July 20th. I know that it's not, but it's close. Close enough for government work, as they say.
Yeah.
So July 20th to August 20th to September 20th to October 20th. 3 months away.
3 months away.
And you're saying you can't release the title? It's also listed with the following descriptions.
Yeah.
Genre, unknown. Rating, unknown. Runtime, unknown. Do they know anything about this movie other than it stars Brotato Chip?
What if the name is unknown?
All right, here's the thing. I'll do something drastic.
Yeah.
It would make me so happy if the actual name of this movie was Untitled Ben Affleck Movie. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be the best. Would you book it?
100%. 100%. It's from Warner's. I guarantee you that if it's Untitled Ben Affleck Movie, I would book it without even seeing. I don't need to know anything else. If you're naming it, if you're naming it Untitled Ben Affleck Movie, I'm on board.
Wow.
All right. Enough with the nonsense.
Enough with the nonsense. Let's get to the real news.
You know what's funny? I feel like we jinxed ourselves.
Yeah.
We're like the boys that cried wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the last 20...
We're not like Boys to Men?
That's assumed.
Okay.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
For the last 24 weeks,
mm-hmm.
we've been mocking Bond news.
Right.
And now here we are, week 25. We have actual... We got a plate
real
full.
Real Bond news.
We got a plate full. Of yeah. real Bond news.
Well, some of the Mystery Gobble sent us an email with some of this Bond news,
and then it just started rolling from there.
Yeah, and I almost broke my phone because I was like, it can't be. I won't acknowledge this is real Bond news. All right,
walk us through it.
Blofeld, he was in the last movie.
Yeah,
he's back.
Oh, love him,
Christopher Waltz. This take on Blofeld, he's. An adopted brother or something? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Of Bond.
There's some weird connection.
Yeah.
Is it a stepbrother maybe?
Something like he was like the housekeeper's kid or something, and then they died.
There's a personal connection.
Yeah,
we'll just say that.
Connection.
I thought he was a great bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost wish he wasn't Blofeld, but he's a great bad guy. So he's back, which is cool. Who knows what that means?
Back, baby.
Is he the villain? Is he just kind of in the background? Who knows? But the big news that everyone's talking about, and here's the thing about this, because it's very deceiving and people are getting upset
right.
for the wrong reason. Well,
not so quick.
Yeah. So Lady Bond is what they're saying. But that's not what it is.
Right.
What it is, and I can't remember her name, she was Monica Rambeau in Captain Marvel.
And she was great.
She was great. She's a great actress. Here's a very... hard to pronounce name that you're going to look up
yes.
and then pronounce because I am not going to try. Anyway, she is playing the new 007. So this could go several ways. People see that headline. They said, oh, she's the new Bond. She's not the new Bond. She's the new 007. So James Bond, the 00s, like the numbers get passed on.
Lashana Lynch.
Lashana Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an unusual name, but it's easy to pronounce.
Yeah, easier once I heard it now.
Yeah.
But so the moniker gets passed down. So one 00 dies, someone else gets the number.
Right.
There's only so many 00s.
Dies or retires.
Or retires.
We're not saying James Bond is going to die.
Right. So there's a couple different ways this could go. Either A, Bond retired after the last one, like he said he was doing, and there's a new 007, and then either A, she dies, goes bad, or needs help, and he comes back.
Mm.
So, and then either A, he takes back the moniker, or at the end he says, good job, and then she's now 007. And maybe the movies follow her.
They're
not James Bond anymore, they're 007.
I predict all of the above. I think there will be new James Bond movies, and I think they're spinning off to start a new 007 series. So I think she will spin off with her own, if it goes well.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about how the box office does. But if this movie does well, and if she is well received, we could see our first 007 movie in November of 2020, followed by Bond 26
yeah.
in 2022. You know, something like that.
This isn't the first time they tried this.
Really?
No. I don't know if you remember Tomorrow Never Dies.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah. Halle Berry was in that movie.
Right.
And she was a character called Jinx. And her character was supposed to spin off and be a spin-off spy series.
Oh.
But it was not well received.
Huh.
So, I think part of that was she was an American spy.
Mm.
Less interesting. And I think part of it might have been timing. You know.
Plus, she hadn't been in Captain Marvel.
Right. And I think another part of it is that movie was not good. So, lots of things there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's our real life Bond news. No news on whether or not anyone got food poisoning this week.
What I thought was interesting about this was the article where I read about it. The question that was raised was, it sort of helps you think about the significance or lack thereof of this news, which is, and I'm not expressing an opinion on that question, but whether or not it's real news, significant, big time, like, oh my God, shake the earth, James Bond news, or if it's just an interesting point, is really a question of why did the studio release this? Like, remember when in Endgame, and there was this massive question of who's going to die and who's not? And everybody speculated, oh, it's going to be Iron Man. I mean, pretty much everybody speculated correctly about Endgame.
Right.
But, like, why wouldn't the studio keep this as, like, a really amazing twist? You know what I mean? Like, you go out to see a James Bond movie and, what?
Yeah.
This girl's getting the 00? Whoa! Like, you know.
Yeah.
So if they didn't leave it as a spoiler, for lack of a better word, or a twist, I guess, is the more appropriate. If they didn't leave it in there as a twist, it must happen pretty early in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just an interesting way of looking at it, which is to look at it as a question of why did the studio release this information right from the get-go?
It could be nothing. It could be something, like you said, right at the beginning. Maybe, maybe she dies right at the beginning and comes back. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's nothing.
That's a fair point.
First people to report on this is what might find interesting, was The Sun. So
now, that is interesting.
Now, I read the article
from
other...
That's out of Baltimore, right?
We're talking like the newsstand Batboy lives...
In London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sun.
Yeah.
So, but then it has been re-reported but from other reputable sources, which is why I trust the news. But
I first read about it in the Daily Bugle. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Certified dad on the block over here. All right, that's the news.
And I'll just say this, you're welcome.
Yeah, send thank you cards to podcast@pencinema.com. It's time to get into trailers,
and now you know.
So many trailers this week, and for those worrying about the movie review, don't. Just enjoy what we got going.
Right. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. All right. So first trailer we got up, Judy. We've talked about this before, but this is a full-blown trailer. Thoughts on this?
Looks heavy.
It does. Renee Zellweger looks great.
She looks amazing, and I don't know if I have the emotional fortitude to see this movie.
This movie's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's not gonna. It doesn't look like it's pulling any punches.
She's taking a pill in the car,
mm-hmm.
and her little daughter says to her, "Don't go to sleep, mommy." And she goes, "Oh no, this is the other one." Like, come on, that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they start singing "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." I mean, if that's not the saddest song known to man, tell me.
I want this to be everything that it looks like it's going to be.
What's your thing with Judy Garland? Because remember when this first came up?
I was like, she looks like Judy Garland. You're like, anyone could walk in off the street and I wouldn't know who Judy Garland was.
I didn't say I wouldn't know who Judy Garland was. I said I wouldn't know. Like, you were so impressed that Renee Zellweger looked just like her. And I was kind of like, I have this vague sort of mental. I mean, now I have a crystal clear one thanks to the trailer.
Yeah.
But prior to that trailer, this vague image, mental image of Judy Garland, but I could have never said who looked like her, who didn't.
Well, like, I don't know.
Are you just more in the know, or do you have a thing? Is there
No, there's no special thing.
Okay.
I just feel like
you just knew.
Some point in the time I was exposed to Judy Garland's image.
Okay. Yeah. So you have no extra baggage other than the fact that this is in and of itself a heavy movie.
No.
I think this movie, just the trailer alone, puts Renee on Best Actress list.
I would agree with that.
If not, is it too early to give her the Oscar?
I think Here's the thing with this movie. I think it's hard for this movie, from what we're seeing now, to say that it's going to be anything than really a really solid good movie. Like,
yeah.
There's no part of me that says this movie's not going to be good.
Oh my God, this movie's going to be amazing.
How good the movie's going to be.
I think this movie's going to be amazing. It's not a question of how good, it's a question of how amazing.
Okay.
You know, like I think back to like Saving Mr. Banks, this looks like even better than that, but it's the same sort of thing where you have some legendary, iconic figures. Yeah.
Wow.
This is going to be good. Judy. And then right along, I mean, the same level of
legendary,
you know,
iconic.
Yeah, is Dora. Dora the Explorer. Okay. Are you hip to Dora? Like,
I mean, I'm familiar enough to get it.
Because I'm the father of kids who were prime Dora. Like prime. When Dora came out, my kids were all about it.
Yeah.
Like if you took something like during lunch, like tried to take a potato chip off their plate, they'd say like swipe or no swipies.
Yeah.
You know. I like this trailer a lot. This is a – is it the second trailer or is it just the first full trailer?
It might be the first full.
All right. Let me speak to the dads for a minute.
Yo.
This is why I like this trailer. Because when we first saw the trailer and all the publicity information, everybody, including me, said Dora looks so old. Mm-hmm. Dora's supposed to be like six. She's supposed to be like 5 years old.
Right.
And this Dora is clearly like – what, middle school or, you know, something a little bit
older.
They
say high school. So.
High school. Yeah, even better.
Ninth grade. Let's say that.
So in this trailer, she says something to her mom about, this looks fabulous. And then she looks right at the camera and says, oh, no, she says, this looks delicious. And then she looks right at the camera and says, delicioso. Can you say delicioso?
And the parents look, they're like,
who is she talking to?
She'll grow out of it, the dad says.
Yeah, the dad's like, she'll grow out of it. So to me, that was the nod to all of us saying like, hey, dummies, she grew up. This is not, you know, like we've taken this 6-year-old, the 5-year-old from the show and she has now grown a little bit and she's in high school. And it sort of, to me, made it okay to accept that character as a teenager and be ready to watch a movie about her, you know. So that scene alone, that moment alone sold me on this movie.
I mean, are you going to watch it?
No, I mean, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch it if Avery, my niece, wants to watch it with me. Or
I was a bit confused as to where you were going with that.
No, I mean, it's clearly not a movie for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's a kid's movie, but I think it's going to do well. And I think
it's
going to
do well.
You know, I think it's going to be a good August kid's movie. Yeah.
I like how at the end they reminded us that it was how kid movie it is with the fart jokes.
The fart jokes and her backpack gets stuck in the bus. The doors close on her backpack and she gets carried along, you know.
Yeah,
it's a total kids movie.
Yeah.
I have no interest in it whatsoever, except if there's some kid in my life who wants to see it with me, I'll go see it with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Well, speaking of a kids movie that actually looks like it's for us.
Yes.
Mulan.
Wow. I can't wait. Mulan looks incredible.
It really looks awesome. This is the first... This is the first one of all the live action ones that I'm just like, okay, like this. And when this trailer came out, I had not seen Mulan at that point. And so I was like, this could be the most interesting one to me because all the other ones I kind of get bored going, I know this story.
Right.
You know, we talked about that before. So I think that that aspect was really interesting to me. Plus, it looks like a really good Asian film.
Yeah.
Like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hero, Curse of the Golden Flower. Like, I don't know how much wire Fu is in this movie, but like they could turn it up real high and make this really like one of those artistic martial arts, really cool. It looks great.
This movie is a lock for all those Oscars that you don't really know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like set design versus art versus cinematography versus photography versus, you know, like you could just tell that this is a beautifully crafted movie.
Right.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped. I'm really
it's worth watching the trailer, Mulan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take us through the next one.
Maleficent. I mean, another Disney one, which I liked it for the same reason of what you just said a minute ago, which is, it is surpassing the story. Mm-hmm. Like it's evolved. Now it looks like just another sort of fun fantasy, you know, movie There's some fairies in it, I think. That turned me off just a little bit because I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a little more like of a edgier. You know, it had the potential to be a little bit edgier. But no, I think it's what, the old lady ruining a wedding, something like that.
Yeah.
To me, like Mulan, I'm really excited to see this movie for myself. And Maleficent is more like, oh, this movie looks good, and if I end up watching it, it'll probably be good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I still haven't seen the first one, but visually it looks interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say really much more than that about it. Here's a movie that I feel like has been done. The Good Liar. You don't feel like this is something that maybe we've seen before?
What do you mean, been done?
I don't know. I watched the trailer for this, and I was like, did this movie not already come out? Like, in the 90s?
Give me a for instance.
I can't. Well, so, the plot.
Right.
Is old man swindler gets with a lady and pretends that he's not going to swindle her.
Right.
And, so the trailer looks like he's trying to figure out how to swindle her. And she's, might be too smart for it.
Right.
You don't think you've seen that plot before?
I want to watch the trailer again.
Okay.
Because I did watch the entire trailer, and I was paying attention to it. Yeah. I wasn't doing six other things. Mm-hmm. But I only watched it once, and I was left with the exciting feeling that there's more to it.
Yeah, there's
that there's like additional twists.
There could,
like maybe she doesn't have the $3 million that he thinks she has, and maybe who's swindling who. Like the old Aretha Franklin song, Who's Zooming Who?
And then he falls in love with her in the
middle
of it.
Does he fall in love? Is there a – what's the role of the younger boy? I couldn't tell if that was his son or her son. There's some boy in his 40s who's like somehow caught up in it, and I don't know if he's an innocent bystander or if he's part of the swindling. I had a totally different take than you. My take was like, wow, this movie looks awesome. Helen Mirren is – I could watch her all day long.
Ian McKellen. No, I think it looks good. Don't knock me. I just felt like – it felt like, in the late 90s especially, like there just seemed to be a lot of the dramas just felt like they were rehashing things. Like you'd just be like, oh, this movie, like The Firm, or then it was like The Law, or, you know, they had different stories, but they all appeared to be the same.
Well, that's because they were all doing John Grisham books.
Yeah.
This is not a John Grisham book.
Well,
this is a whole different thing, and it takes place in England.
Halfway through, they go to the Wild West.
They go to the Wild West. I think the movie looks great. It's called The Good Liar. You should watch the trailer and let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. But I'm on board, and I think I'm just being a little bit of an easy critic, and David's just trying to, I don't know what, impress everybody with his critical thinking.
Are you impressed? PodcastOfPenCinema.com.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Walk me through this next one.
Every Time I Die.
Yeah.
That's the name of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
David.
Yeah.
I did not watch the whole trailer.
Ooh.
I do not have unlimited minutes in my day, and I did not care to spend any more than almost a full minute watching this trailer. Yeah. So the movie's called Every Time I Die, which I think is in theaters and video on demand.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks dumb. I didn't think it looked exciting. It looked like you said a minute ago, it looked like I've seen this before a million times.
Yeah. Man, either one or two things are happening.
Yeah.
They allude to towards the end of the trailer. Either A, he jumps bodies or something. Or
right.
B, it's a man with multiple personalities who doesn't know that he has multiple personalities. And there's one woman that it surrounds. One of them's married to her. One of them's in love with her. And one of them's an innocent bystander. Mm. And he switches between these people and doesn't realize it.
Hmm.
So you didn't get that far.
Here's the thing. Okay, so I will agree that it might be an interesting premise.
Uh-huh.
Probably not.
No.
But I will not agree that it looked like a well-made movie.
No, it doesn't look like a well-made movie.
No. It looks like a piece of crap.
It looks like they didn't have a big budget.
Right.
So.
On the other hand, I will say that The Kingsman.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, the second Kingsman was fine. I liked the first one a lot.
Yeah.
The second one was fine.
The second one was that weird scene with Elton John, right?
Yeah.
I didn't care for that.
Yeah. It was like, there's worse.
You know what the expression is? They jumped the shark. You know that expression,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, This looks way better.
Is this an origin story?
Yeah.
Is that what we're led to believe? Yeah.
Origin of the Kingsman.
Yeah. I think it looks exciting. It's like, okay, Kingsman 3 would have been a mistake, so let's go back and do an origin story.
Make it a little
story.
Bit more simple.
Yeah, prequel.
Less hokey gadgets.
Right.
Fighting Rasputin, apparently.
Yeah.
So, I like it. Yeah. It's got Ralph Fiennes in it,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm all about that. Next movie we have on here is called Extraordinary. Two words, not extraordinary.
Right.
Extraordinary. I want to see this movie. I don't think that it's going to be like a hit or anything.
Yeah.
We got Will Forte and some other people. It's kind of a parody of like ghost movies, like horror type things. There's like a medium who doesn't really do medium stuff, sort of.
It looked like it's a comedy the same way Zombieland is a comedy.
Yes. Or any of the – or like Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
Like it's very British humor, kind of dry, kind of – like some of it will be over the top and some of it will just be like low-key things. Like she's driving and she says, oh, hi, ghost. And it's like actually a real lady. She's like, oh, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, and the guy's staring at the goat and he's like – the goat is like floating.
Yeah.
And it's just – it's not that big of a deal, but it's curious enough that he's looking at it.
Right. Yeah. So it has a lot of potential.
Whenever I see floating goats, I freak out. I mean.
Really?
It's been years.
For you?
It's been years. But
well, I love Will Forte.
Who doesn't?
So that's,
who doesn't?
That's one of the reasons I'm kind of like, and him is like a crazy. Yeah. I love how he's like. Like doing a seance, and then his wife's like, dinner's ready.
Right.
It's like, I'll be up in a minute.
Right. No, he's good. Yep. The Hunger Games. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Hunt teaser. The Hunt. Speaking of movies we've already seen.
Yeah. So this is basically, it's an ad, like, for a vacation.
So I thought the concept for the trailer was really creative, very, very good.
Yeah,
it was kind of different. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember ever seeing a trailer done this way.
Mm.
Like when I first clicked on it, I actually did a double take. Like, is this the movie or is this like an ad that I'm watching before the trailer starts?
Maybe not movie trailers, but video game trailers for zombie games have done this a lot.
Okay,
where it seems like it's a real thing, and then like halfway through the trailer, you see everyone's kind of dead on the beach or whatever. So, but I don't think this is zombies. This is them just hunting people, like the lower class.
Yeah.
So that seems.
This is like a less sci-fi version of Hunger Games.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, maybe it is.
Well,
I'm
sorry. That's probably not.
Who knows why the people are in the forest?
That's not at all fair to say, other than the fact that in this movie, the rich people are hunting poor people.
Right. Right. Okay.
All right. The last trailer of the day is
The Farewell.
I think the trailer of the week is Judy.
Really? I think the trailer of the week is The Farewell.
Okay.
It's close.
Yeah.
It's close because The Farewell reminded me of the type of indie movies that I used to go see and then just like no one else saw. And they'd be the movie that I'd be talking about for years, telling people how they had to see this movie. Yeah. I'd buy it on DVD and it'd lend it out to a billion people and everyone would be like, oh, wow. And then I'd have feel special because I introduced them to this movie, you know, and I was the guy.
You're the guy.
You know, but so it's got that feel to it and I dig it.
I dig it too, and it's right up there. I'm not going to argue with you. It very well may be the trailer of the week. It's called The Farewell. This is the movie we were talking about earlier. Beautifully made, beautifully crafted movie. Takes place in, I think, China and also America, right?
Both. Yeah.
Both. And I think there's a lot going on with this movie. And I watched the trailer and clicked over to my email and wrote the studio about, like, hey, we got to get this movie in Lititz.
Wow.
So I don't know if I'm going to be able to or not, but it was that strong of a trailer.
Yeah.
Even though it opened already limitedly the other day, 3 days ago, July 12th, it's not on. Nobody has contacted me about playing it in a wide release.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't drag it out too long. But I think this movie could really be special.
Hmm.
And I'll just tell people that I heard about it from David Moulton.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'll be like, who?
They'll be like,
Star-Lord, who?
No, they'll say that podcast guy.
And that's David's not how it wants to be known.
It doesn't define me. I'm more than a pretty voice.
Okay. Tell me about this week in the movies.
Do I have to?
Yeah, dude. Because
I don't want to.
What happened at the theater this week? Not good stuff, huh?
No, it was all right. You know, it was whatever. Spider-Man continues to kick ass. Yeah. Toy Story kicks ass. Yesterday kicks ass. Aladdin's holding the city.
Wow.
Avengers is going into its 13th week.
BT Dubs, I heard they're only 8 million away from getting the record.
Yeah, they're not going to get there. But they're inching closer, and they're going to come really close, but they're not going to get there. The DVD comes out, the digital release comes out like in a couple weeks. That'll end
Kill
their
it.
Box office
yeah.
run. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to do something just because I get a kick out of being able to say that I did it.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on to Avengers past the video release.
Oh.
So that I can make comments like, it's available at home. No, the opposite. Oh. I'm going to say the opposite. It's available at home. But the theatrical experience is so great.
You best to come see.
That people are still coming to see it. Because I did that. I'm trying to think. I've done that with other movies before. And it's really fun to sell movie tickets to a movie that's to a movie that's available at home.
Hmm.
It validates the movie going experience.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. One interesting thing did happen over the weekend.
Oh.
We had two little shitty movies come out.
Yeah.
One called Stuber and one called Crawl.
Yeah.
They were both spelled with just five letters, or six, I guess, in Stuber's case. And they were both coming in at an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And they both looked a little bit like throwaway movies.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I get it wrong.
Yeah.
I got it a little bit wrong this week.
Okay.
I put Stuber in theater two because I felt like the cast was going to bring out an audience. So for those of you who don't know, theater two is like, I would call it like a medium-sized theater.
Yeah.
Medium to large type of theater. And I put Crawl down in Theater 12, which is one of our smaller, medium to smaller theaters. So I thought Crawl was going to be a total throwaway and Stuber was going to be like number four or five in the building. And the same thing happened in Wilmington and also Huntington Valley. Stuber tanked. Stuber was our lowest grossing movie in all three sites. And Crawl did okay.
Here's the thing. I saw Crawl had like a 98%.
Yeah. I actually am thinking now I want to go see it.
It looks horrible. But I guess...
Some people are saying it's better than Godzilla.
Get out.
Like in a fun way.
Get out.
Like in a crazy fun way. Not that it's a better film or whatever, but like if you're not David Moulton, right? If you don't have a critical eye and the whole history of Godzilla and comic books... lore and all that baggage that weighs you down.
Right.
If you're just an airhead like me, and there's so many of us out there, and you just want to walk in and be entertained, those people are saying that Crawl is every bit as entertaining or more than Godzilla, and it's only an hour and a half. Which leads me to another problem I have.
Yeah.
I got a problem. You know what my problem is?
Are you going to hold on to this, or are we going to do this right now?
You know what this is Penn's segment.
Penn's segment?
Yeah. I got
a problem. What's your problem, Penn?
Okay.
Or what's your problem with Penn?
Right. Podcast at penncinema.com. Here's my problem. My first set of problems we discussed on page one. That was the Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I got other problems.
Okay.
I brought notes.
Oh, snap, crackle, and pop. You got,
to discuss. David.
Yeah.
Are we worried about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
If it's going to be good?
Yeah.
I'm a little worried.
I think it's going to be fantastic, but I have a problem.
I don't think people are going to see it.
I think so either. Yeah. I'm going to go see it,
and I
think I'm going to love it. I have high expectations. Mm-hmm. I've been reading a lot about it. I think it looks – I finally understand a little bit what it's about, blah, blah, blah. But here's my problem. Why does this movie need to be – 2 hours and 41 minutes long.
I don't know if you're familiar with directorial artistic vision, but...
you know where I first started having a problem with this concept?
Yeah.
Was I read some quotes where the cue man himself was saying that he was going to cut it down so that it could be enjoyable. He didn't want to take himself too seriously, and he was going to cut it down so that he could it could be have mass appeal to a wider array of audiences. And then I read some and then I read some contradicting quotes. I think I read a story that the Cannes version that he showed at the Cannes Film Festival was longer, and he was going to cut it down for audiences. And then I read the opposite. He cut it down for Cannes, and he's going to put stuff back into it for the wide release.
Yeah.
You think he's just jerking us?
Yeah. I think he just wants to do what he wants to do, and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And he just molding it to fit whatever audience he wants to attract.
Yeah. All right. That's my problem. 161-minute runtime for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tickets are on sale now. And for those of you who like good movies, I'm sure this is going to be a good movie, and I will absolutely watch it.
When's it open?
It opens on August 1st.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. That's not true. It opens on July 25th.
Okay.
So the week after Lion King.
Okay. Now, all this talk, you saw Stuber.
Well, any good podcast host that was getting ready to review a movie would see the movie that they were going to review.
What?
Right?
Like Toy Story 4?
What was the other one that I didn't really see?
I can't remember.
It was another kid's movie.
Yeah.
It might have been Batman Lego. No, not Batman. But
Lego Movie 2.
Yeah. I watched that like on the installment plan.
Yeah.
So I took a hit for the team, and I watched Stuber on behalf of the Penn Cinema podcast. And it was – I've been trashing it and saying it was bad.
Yeah.
Marley, who's 20 years old and works in the movie business – she liked it. She didn't love it. She's not telling people, stop what you're doing and go see it.
Yeah.
But she was definitely more entertained than I was. Little Kayla, who has a very sensitive palate, she did not care for all the shooting and some of the foul language and some of the blood.
I don't understand how she's your daughter.
Oh, my God. How much time do we have? There's so many things that make no sense whatsoever. She's a reaction to being my daughter. You know what I mean? It's
for every action, there's a opposite.
Right, right. Yeah. So we all watched Stuber together. We went to a show at 9:15 with the public.
Okay.
Now, when I say the public...
You mean just the three of you.
What I mean is it was the three of us and that guy in the back row.
Yeah.
You know, and there was four of us in the theater at the time.
And this time that wasn't me.
Right. And I mean, like, whatever. To the listeners who actually want to know about Stuber, like, it was all right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great. I'm not even saying it was good.
I mean, when Penn doesn't like a movie, that's when I kind of like – that's why – so I had a pretty busy weekend, and I had planned to see this – I was going to make time.
Right.
To see this movie. And I texted him in the morning because I was like, I'm not going to push myself to see this movie if Penn hasn't even taken the time to watch it. And he was like, yeah, I've seen it. But then he said, save yourself the time. Don't bother. And I was like, whoa. Whoa. Because normally you just be like, it's all right. Or you just say, when are you going to see it?
In listener's notes, we got a note from Becky. Upside down family picnic Becky. That's me subtly moving on
from Stuber. All right.
It doesn't deserve any more of our
attention.
David, gotcha. We only have so many minutes.
We do.
My God. All right. Becky wrote in, and why were we talking about someone named Luz?
Oh, there was a movie called Luz.
Oh, that was a movie.
Yeah.
Well, she wrote in and enlightened us.
Yeah.
See how that choice of words there?
Okay.
She enlightened us.
She brought us the light.
That it's pronounced Luce. And she had a friend named Luce, and it means light and peace.
Oh, see, your note ends with, she had a friend, which I was like, big news! Midnight Separation Becky had a friend.
That's exactly how I meant it, like to be funny.
She doesn't currently have a friend.
But at one point in time, back in the day.
She had one. Proof of concept. If you want to be Becky's friend, podcast depends on
it. We're currently taking applications. It takes a special person, though.
Yeah.
Not just anybody.
No.
No.
And you have to apply.
Right.
Fancy names are a plus.
You know what we do for our listeners, though, David?
What's that?
We respond.
Yeah.
We hear them.
And we bring them what they want.
We bring them what, give the people what they want.
Yeah. And we got a letter. And they said, what's up with, what's Penn's problem?
Right.
When's that coming back?
It's been a few weeks since we discussed my problem.
What's the problem with Penn? Or what's Penn's problem?
We need to go back and replay the tape because I could have sworn it was, what's the problem, Penn? But I feel like what people really want is, what's the problem with Penn? Like, what's his latest malfunction?
It's a twist.
You know there's going to be one.
Yeah.
You can always count on him to do something stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, come on.
Hey,
forget about it. So Mr. Gobble wrote in about this one.
Yes.
And he said, bring it back. Yeah. We brought it back.
We did. That's the kind of guys we are.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. We aren't scared.
We ain't scared.
All right. So moving on from letters this week. What are you watching? What'd you do outside of outside of the movies? I know Stuber was most of your week.
But first I had to watch it. Then, of course, we discussed it, we analyzed it, we broke it down.
page by page of the script.
You know what our number one problem with Stuber is?
What's that?
And Scott Gibble reminded me of this, the mystery gobble himself.
Oh.
The primary problem with Stuber is one of my pet peeves, which he shares with me, which is the 17 bad guys who can't hit the one good guy.
Stormtrooper effect.
And then the Stormtrooper effect. And then the one good guy shoots one bullet and kills 17 people.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have that skill?
I don't.
I mean, when I got out of karate.
Karate.
I used to shoot the bullets.
Yeah.
And never missed.
Could you make them curve?
Yeah.
Remember that scene in The Office when they break down how to shoot three people with one bullet?
No.
It's a great scene.
I remember the movie Wanted, though.
Yes.
Where they curve bullets. Anyway, what have you been watching? What have you been doing?
Well, you know, the Tour de France. We're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
So the Tour de France requires a massive amount of time.
Right. You only have so many minutes in a day.
Right. But I spend minutes on the tour.
Whoa.
I do. But here's what I do. I watch, and this is, if you're interested, if you ever want to get into bike racing, this is the place to do it. You start each segment, you watch the first 5 minutes where the announcers recap what happened yesterday. Because it's a 21-stage race. So there's like 21 races involved in the overall race.
Yeah.
So every day there's news to recap. So you watch the first 5 or 10 minutes, recap what you saw yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Then you hit the fast forward button. Then you go get a cup of coffee while it's fast forwarding. Because it's like 5 hours long.
Yeah.
Like literally 5 or 6 hours long. When you get to the last 20 minutes or so, then you watch the bike race. Because these guys bike like 110 miles. Sometimes it's 106, sometimes it's 130. But they bike these massive lengths over mountains and all over France.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because every day comes down to the last 10 minutes of the race. It's wild. It's absolutely amazing. And it's the kind of sport that once you get into it and understand how it works, it's incredibly addictive. Like, I'm really excited to get home and see what happened.
Oh,
you know,
man.
It happens in France. So they were like, you set your DVR and then it records overnight. And because it's 6 hours, after you get watching each stage, you have to erase it. Otherwise, you'd
be not enough room.
Yeah. So I'm watching Tour de France. I also watched, Marley and I were planning to watch Midsommar.
Midsommar.
But I heard from my staff downstairs in the concession stand that they flagged me off.
Oh.
Now, me and Marley are very close, and we don't sort of, just like me and Kayla, we're a very close family, and I feel like the typical father-daughter awkwardness that you see in a lot of families, maybe it's not there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that I maybe don't want to watch this particular movie with my daughter.
Right.
So I was flagged off. I was kind of waved off. So, but I was kind of curious because everybody talks about Midsommar and is made by the same guy that made Hereditary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Hereditary.
With Marley?
No, by myself.
Oh.
Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
That was the night I dreamt I was in prison.
Right.
Luckily,
for watching the movie.
Luckily, I had my truck.
We're locking you in this room with your truck.
With your truck. So I liked Hereditary, although it was incredibly slow and kind of boring. It was the kind of movie like you had to just keep watching it.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to know what was going to happen.
Right.
It was obviously a well-made movie. The acting was great. If you're in the mood for a good suspenseful horror movie, it counts. But I didn't love it.
Hmm.
What I did love.
Yeah.
Kayla and I, and Marley and Amy, but it really started as a conversation, as you know, with me and Kayla wanting to work through the John Hughes, what do you call that? Catalog.
Yeah.
Catalog. So we watched, we started with 16 Candles. We watched Breakfast Club. And, of course, we've already seen the vacation movies. And so the other night we watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh.
Which, first of all, we loved. I haven't sat and watched that movie in a long time. Really good movie.
Yeah.
And second of all, we set up the outdoor projector.
Oh.
So we were outside in the backyard, hung a sheet, you know, on the side of the house type of thing.
Okay.
You know, played through the little shitty projector on the side. And it was great. And it was so much fun. And Amy and Marley and Kayla and I all watched it together.
Nice.
It was like a beautiful summer night. There was a slight little breeze. So we were like comfortable. And my favorite new hobby with John Hughes movies, we'll see how long it holds up. But are you aware, and I think I was aware but had forgotten it, how much he puts into license plates on the cars?
No.
Every license plate has some kind of secret code.
Oh, really?
Like I noticed at the end of 16 Candles, there was a series of numbers that looked suspiciously like a birth date. And so I Googled it. I just said into my phone, when was John Hughes born? And it was like 21248, which was the license plate number.
Really?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Huh.
And all the license plates, like the mom pulls up in Ferris Bueller, and the license plate says VCTIN, like vacation.
Okay.
It's pretty neat. So it's kind of fun to watch all these movies in a row and really see the similarities. And so we had a ball watching Ferris Bueller's. And I think next up is Say Anything.
Okay.
So we're excited for that. I'm loving this this idea of a series.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Good stuff.
Very cool. Me, this week, I, after the Mulan trailer came out, and after fanboying over it for a little bit, I was accosted for having not seen Mulan.
Who were you accosted by?
A convincing party.
A convincing party, okay.
Yeah.
Someone whose opinion you respect.
Right. And I said, they said, why haven't you ever seen it? And I said, I just missed it. Maybe it was a little bit past my time. Maybe it was just whatever.
Isn't it funny how people who love a certain movie that you happened to miss are like shocked and offended that you never saw it?
That's our relationship.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
90% of our interactions.
A lot of gaps to fill in.
It goes both ways, though.
Right.
That's the thing.
Gotcha.
So, I, you know, I was told, I was like, this is one of the greats. And I said, well, you know, I could probably be convinced. And then came a series of images or memes. This is me telling you to watch it. And I was like, okay, I guess I've been convinced.
You're under the influence.
Yeah. So I really liked it. I did. I enjoyed it. I at the same time, the new movie doesn't have Mushu or the music, and I think it'll be totally fine without those things.
Okay.
But because I think it grows it up, it grows the story up a little bit to match the visuals, and I think that's fine. I also think changing it a little bit might break the mold that they have with the other ones. So I'm still really, I enjoyed the classic. I'm really looking forward to that. Other than that, Arrested Development still going on, slow. And, you know, my crazy crime podcasting. So
I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
But I never saw the original Mulan either. What's up?
I'm going to have to forward you the email. This is me telling you to watch it.
What?
Yeah. So, well, that about brings us to the end. What are we doing next week? I mean
a wimba wep, a wimba.
We got to do Lion King.
A wimba wep. Hey. Well, first of all, we got to.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's the only new movie coming out.
Yeah. What do you think? I have not been hearing great news.
No, you're high.
Nah, dude. Nah.
Brah. Potato chip. Come on.
I've been hearing some negativo.
You're smoking crack, hanging out there with all your little uppity film critic friends. getting their panties in a bunch about The Lion King. First of all, this movie.
I thought you said you were busy this weekend. How'd you know what I did?
Oh, that's the other thing I did this weekend. What? I went and saw Mamma Mia at the Fulton.
Here we
and
go.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
My boy Buddy Reeder shines.
Mm.
Randall's in it, shines. Whoa. Robert Bigley's in it, shines.
Bigley.
Yeah. There's all kinds of cool people
the
in it.
The mayor that would be mayor.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a great show. I mean, you expect nothing else, nothing less from Fulton. And it's amazing how they deliver time and time again. But it got, last night was supposed to be its final show, and it got extended for 2 weeks. So if you can get in
tickets
to see Mamma Mia, it's worth it.
Here we go again.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that The Lion King is going to be every bit as good as we had hoped.
We're going to find out.
And I think it crosses the $200 million opening weekend mark.
What night does it open?
Thursday night at 6, or if you just can't wait till 6, we have an opening night fan event at 5 p.m.
Oh, snap, crackle,
what's up?
Pop.
You get to see the movie an hour early, and you get a large souvenir popcorn tin. All the popcorn you can eat. Although, it's kind of, you're going to want to just eat the one tin, because you're not going to want to leave the movie.
Yeah, that's but where they get you.
Then
that's where they get you.
That's where they get you. Lethal Weapon 3, they get you at the drive-thru, but I don't want to say it. I'm trying to curse less.
Mm.
It's not working.
All right, well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.